Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning and welcome to Speak Up for Monday, March 13th. I'm your host, Magnus Tewald. I'll be with you for the next hour. We've got some good stuff lined up for you today. We're going to start the show off in just a few minutes with What's Up in Burnaby, our chat with Srishti Gangdev of the Burnaby Beacon about some of the important stories happening in Burnaby this week. And we'll be taking a close look at the proposal to turn parkland into a waste treatment facility, among other stories talked about today. A little later in the program, we continue our series of Rendezvous de la Francophonie. That is an annual celebration of the French language internationally and the many states and communities that it lives in, including our own. And host Catherine Fisher will be speaking to Patrick Lack, a Nelson-based independent podcaster, about his experience as a bilingual person in Canada. Interesting story, because he's a native French speaker coming from the East and is now resettled in the interior of BC at Nelson. So interesting story. We'll have some weather, some great music, and lots of other good stuff. Before we get to all that, though, we're going to start off with a song here. This is Little Sims from her chart-topping album on Campus Community Radio, No Thank You. And this is Gorilla.
Sim Simma, who got the keys to my... Bimmer, big time driller, monkey to gorilla. Who is this woman that I'm seeing in the mirror? Drink 42 and smoke cigar. Name one time where I didn't deliver. Silent figure, I was just on the ends, dropping gems with my friends. I got a 3310 and a pack of blems. Then got the gold, full black, circle back again. Rapping when nothing progressive was happening. Ooh, pain tolerance couldn't break us. Pay homage if you respect how we came up. Cool, cool. Trying to get to the paper, hitting from Jamaica, might do me a favor. True. Big simmer, dipping 10 toes in the ice cold river. Bank got bigger, been a different species. Tunes in a locker, been waiting to unleash these. It's a no show if you can't guarantee fees. I ain't got one threat to consider. Heaven and earth attached to one pillar. One. Rest in peace to Mac Miller. New Sims dropped to shake the whole. Old thing up. What's next? We'll be here for months talking about prospects. Staying on my job, yes sir. And rain is against her. I'm river resistant on my polyester. Run through the jungle, they should have never let her. Cuts and wounds, I hope never will fester. Yeah, big art collector, silent investor, film director. Beating on my chest, going eight. Putting in a grave shift. Ain't life what you make it. Yeah, it is. The jungle winner, all black fitted, hat low, incognito living. Introvert, but she ain't timid. My art will be timeless. I don't do limits. No. Be very specific when you talk on who the best is. How can I address this? Basically, the rest is almost like to me what a stain to a vest is. You ain't dropped nothing in my eyes, I'm impressed with. Please don't be offended. But I'm not in the business of pretending. I've got lines if you wanna get renting. I'll find the agony on and get venting. Stop flooding my mentions with nonsense, talking on sims like she's someone you went school with. Awkward. From day been the cool kid, raps lost hope and faith from restoring. Don't ask my opinion on nothing, cause to make you feel good about yourself is exhausting. I got bangers out in the world soaring, and I got bangers in the vault I've been hoarding. Yeah, true, I got tennis in the morning. Before I start swinging, that man's gonna need a warning. Red light whenever I'm recording, red light on the forehead of the informant. See, I'm the only one on Gorilla. Sims is back, yeah, just got Rilla, yeah. No choice now but to fill us. I know the streets will love it like I brought my skin up. So simmer down, little homie, simmer. All that talk get you rubbed out quicker. I'm cut with a different scissor, from the same cloth as my dear ancestors. That's why this here gives you the shivers. I'm that cold. Higher. Going higher.
Higher.
Going higher.
Higher.
Yeah, we are.
Higher.
Say what? About time. We got the just news for the world. We put in over a decade in this, you know. Yeah, man. Woo! Say he never called another woman me or more, so I open up the way and now he adore. Did it on a wave, I don't play, get you seasick. Charged up, fully barred up, I'm unleashed in.
All right, Little Sims and Gorilla from her album No Thank You. Let's have a quick look at the weather here. Today's going to be kind of rainy. And it's going to continue that way through to tomorrow. Things are looking a little up for Wednesday, though, with sun and partial cloud, highs up to 10 degrees. Even sunnier on Thursday and pretty similar on Friday. And then, of course, just in time for the weekend, the clouds and the rain will be returning, although the temperatures will be still moving upwards. We're heading into the last week of winter. And hopefully, well, you know, it's not even hopefully. That actually does mean the weather's going to keep improving here as we go. Well, at least for another 6 months, it's going to be improving. And I'm looking forward to that. Nice heading into warmer weather. All right, here is Bird Note and your daily quota of avian information.
This is Bird Note.
So I get home, I make myself a cup of coffee, I enter my data. When I take a shower, when I close my eyes so the shampoo doesn't get in, I'm still seeing lines of ducks flying behind my eyes.
Allison Vlog has worked for half a decade as a fall and spring water bird counter at remote migration hotspots around Lake Superior. For weeks, every day from sunrise to nearly sunset, Allison is outside in frigid and volatile weather, identifying species from afar and tallying them with a clicker.
You're just at the mercy of the elements and the wind. And it is exhausting to not only be out in brutal Lake Superior elements, but also paying attention all day and searching for movement.
Bad weather days are more reason for her to come in than to call out.
We're studying ducks and loons, birds that are associated with water. And rain and bad weather doesn't really make them stop flying. In fact, some of my most amazing flights have happened during some of the most miserable weather conditions.
Working close to the elements puts Allison face to face with the reality of dwindling bird populations.
I think as a society, we want to tune things out. Paying attention to the things happening around us at times feels almost like a form of protest. And that's really what keeps me doing it, is just having that lessened separation between my world and the world at large.
For Bird Note, I'm Josephine McRobbie.
I always love Bird Note. It's one of my favorite daily segments. You're listening to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM. And we have a quick message for you. Quick message here for you. Sorry. And then we'll be back with What's Up in Burnaby.
Standing up against racism is an ongoing battle. How will you help?
Teach my children about systemic racism and about historic and persistent colonialism and the responsibility that comes with their privilege. I will use my voice to speak up, and I will make more space at the table.
I will continue to educate myself and others in my community about the racism and inequities faced by BIPOC.
We will not be silent and idle.
This message is brought to you by the Canadian Anti-Racism Youth Coalition. Visit caryc.ca for more information about how you can stand up and speak out.
Let's talk about what's up in Burnaby. Joining me today is Srishti Gangdev of the Burnaby Beacon. Tell us all about the exciting things happening in Burnaby this week. How are you doing this week?
I am good. Thanks for having me back.
Great. So big story. Well, maybe, yeah. As any parent knows, registering your kids for just about anything can be a nightmare. The system that parents and other residents have had to contend with to register for Burnaby recreation programs hasn't made that any easier, but that's going to change.
Yeah, so it feels a little bit like getting Beyonce tickets these days, trying to register your kids for swimming lessons in Burnaby or any of the programs that the city offers. And, you know, we're hearing from parents who have kind of given up on the website altogether. There's long waits. There's, you know, the website crashes and people are actually going to community centers and standing in line for 2 hours to register their kids on paper. You know, which is not ideal. And the city says it's aware of this problem. And it's, you know, working on a solution to get this whole registration system off the one that they've been using since 1994, which, as we know, was not exactly the pinnacle of the internet.
Yeah.
And that's how long the web reg system has been used in the city. And I don't know if you've ever tried to get onto that thing, but it looks like it's from 1994. And it's just not really efficient. So they're hopefully by the end of this year, I believe they're planning on migrating to this newer system that'll make things a little bit easier to get your kids and even yourself into the city's programs.
That's got to be a relief for parents and everyone else. I mean, I know part of the issue with when it comes to registering to these programs is, you know, there's the website itself, and then there's, you know, trying to get the desirable times that fit your schedule for your family, which is why then the website interface or people going down, having to go right down to community centers becomes so crucial. Because if you're slow off the mark, if you just, I'll do that next week, all the spots you really want that work for your family are going to be gone. So people really have to engage with these things, whether they like it or not, if they want to get their kids into programs.
Exactly. It's a little bit like registering for classes in university. I remember I would, you know, set an alarm for 4 a.m. to make sure I like was online right at the right registration time so I could get my classes at 10 a.m. or whatever, right? And it's not a fun situation for anyone. And it's kind of compounded by the fact as well that there aren't really enough spaces available at all in the city. And I know that particularly for swimming lessons, that's an issue that they're looking at resolving. They're looking at adding more spaces. They're looking at doubling kind of licenses on the website itself to make sure that more people can get on at the same time. There's like a bunch of different issues that are making it really hard to do this thing that you would expect to be, you know, a pretty simple part of your day.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's so frustrating when you're working, you know, I mean, you're there, you're trying to get in on the deadline or in as soon as possible so you can get the things you need. And it sounds like there's a lot of just problems with the way the site currently works and the interface, so that, you know, the site hangs up or people aren't sure what's happening. I know when I've encountered situations like that, whether it's with a registration system like this or something else where, you know, things don't seem to be working properly, and all of a sudden you're like, I'm hanging here. Should I like log off and try again? Should I call back? Should I do this? Am I going to lose my spot in the queue if I leave? But if I stay here, am I just wasting my time because nothing's happening anyway? And that's super frustrating.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's part of what leads people to put their kids in programs outside the city, which is unfortunate as well. It makes it less convenient for them. It means that, you know, the city could be keeping people within the borders of Burnaby, which is something that we've talked about before in terms of, you know, public space and nightlife and things like that. But it, I think it really is a philosophical question of how do we make Burnaby a place where you can do everything that you want to do?
Right. How far along is the process of bringing on a new system?
Yeah, so they've been working on it for quite a while because this is not a new struggle by any means. And they've been aware of it for a couple of years, I believe. And it was supposed to be active by, I think, May of this year. And it has been pushed back, unfortunately. So they're aiming to get it up and running by November.
Right. So that'll be an exciting relief for, parents, but really everyone. Because, I mean, the whole recreation system is for the entire community.
Mm-hmm. And they do run a lot of adult programs as well. I know they have like pottery classes and things and painting classes at the art gallery and stuff like that, that I'm sure a lot of people are really anxious to be a part of.
Oh, I'm sure they're just as actively subscribed as the kids programs. And we hear about the parents in particular, because I mean, they have to get their kids into programs. I mean, for the rest of us, it's like, you know, the pottery class is awesome, but if we can't get it, we'll do something else. But, you know, you need to get your kids swimming lessons. You need to keep them busy with interesting activities and stuff. But like, as you say, I mean, everybody wants to use it and everybody has to get through this frustrating system until the new one comes along.
Yep, pretty much.
So moving on to what's been really our biggest story for the last few weeks and probably will not be going away anytime soon. Burnaby's released an environmental impact study on the new organic waste processing facility proposed to go into 21 acres of Burnaby's Fraser Foreshore Park. The 104-page report identifies both impacts on the ecology and wildlife and possible mitigations.
Yeah, like you said, this is a topic that we've been following for quite a while. We're going to be following it for quite a while because it is something that people in the city really seem to care about. If you're not up to speed, the city is proposing to put in a large organic waste processing facility in Fraser Foreshore Park. So in, you know, a departure from tradition, that would involve actually undedicating a pretty large swath of parkland, about 21 acres in Fraser Foreshore Park. And they would be building this facility there. And the idea of taking parkland away is something that has a lot of people riled up. And this report is the first glimpse that we've really gotten into what the ecological impacts would really be. It is a third-party report. It was commissioned by the city, but, you know, a completely different, you know, a company wrote it. It wasn't written by the city itself. And it does take us through, you know, the fact of the matter is that 21 acres is habitat for a lot of wildlife species in the park, including species that are considered at risk provincially and federally, you know, like the barn owl. We've got some salmon species that use the waterways there. And the report is quite clear that it would have a negative impact on those species. The city says it's planning on mitigating those impacts by, you know, recreating waterways or in different parts of the park and other mitigation impacts. And they say that it's actually going to lead to a net gain of these kind of ecosystems in the park. And it is quite a dense report.
Right. If I understand what I read about it, are they also considering mitigating some areas outside the park to create some new wetlands?
Yeah. So from what it's from what's written down here, it says that the city has committed to dedicating wildlife elsewhere in what it's calling high functioning existing forested swamps that are currently designated for development. Mm-hmm. And it's going to add that to existing park area. So it says that's going to be about 10.6 acres, which is about 50% of the of the land that they're currently talking about in Fraser Foreshore.
So I've been following some of the discussions online and in social media, and it seems, at least among some folks, there's a certain cynicism creeping in that this is kind of a done deal already, even though it's in the middle of its proposal process. What's your sense about that?
Yeah, we've been getting that quite a bit in our inboxes as well. It seems people are quite upset with the mechanics of the alternative approval process that's ongoing. So basically, it technically isn't a done deal right now. The city has to gain the assent of the electorate before it can move ahead with this project. And since we don't have an election coming up, what they have to do is go through an alternative approval process, by which if 10% of eligible residents in Burnaby, which is about 16,000 people, vote no on this, then they can't move ahead with it. The problem is that to vote no on it, you have to take quite a bit of responsibility on your shoulders and do a fair amount of work. You have to go to their website, you have to download a form, print it out, sign it, and then you mail it in or return it in person to City Hall, or you go to the library, pick up a form and sign it yourself. These are all things that, you know, working adults don't have time for in their lives. So that's kind of what we've been hearing, is that it places a lot of onus on the people who don't want this project to go ahead to, you know, gather the forces and make it happen. If you don't do any of this, your vote is actually counted in favor of the project. So, you know, I'm not putting any suggestion that the city is doing this on purpose. This is a legislative procedure handed down by the provincial government. They're perfectly within their rights and their processes to go about it this way. But I think that when you put it into, you know, practice, this is the kind of thing that people feel that politicians and governments aren't on their side.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, I mean, Burnaby's just following the process that's been created through the, you know, by the province. But it does seem like like maybe that whole process is lacking. Because how long has this proposal been before the public? I mean, we've been talking about it for several weeks now, but, you know, how long has it been?
The first, you know, I don't remember when this would have first come before council. I know that it's become a topic of public conversation since maybe late January, early February. Mm-hmm. So about a month now.
Yeah.
And the approval process launched just last week, and it runs until April 28th. So that's when people have until to sign these forms and drop them off or whatever. I believe that it has been talked about for several months longer than that. And the reason that this wasn't on, because usually, you know, when you go to vote in a municipal election, you are also voting for other city projects. And typically, if there was an election coming up, something like this would be on there. At the last election, it wasn't on there. And the mayor has said it's because it simply wasn't ready in October to come to the public. So I guess I rambled on for a bit there, but I would say that in the public eye, this is a fairly new issue.
Yeah, I mean, the election was only just last fall. Now we're talking about what to me feels like a big issue. But obviously, I think given the reaction in Burnaby, a lot of other people think it's a big issue. But it also seems to be a fairly speedy process, you know, given removing a substantial chunk of parkland out of a park and, you know, converting it to what's basically a kind of industrial facility. I mean, it is, you know, the facility itself is creating environmental benefits by, you know, recycling organic waste into soil and other, you know, beneficial products. But it's still, you know, something like this, and, you know, that happens over just a few months with a very limited opportunity for public input other than this somewhat convoluted process we've talked about. It does sort of seem like maybe there's a problem in the larger set of processes set up to deal with these kind of things.
I think this as well is what has people convinced that this is kind of a push to get the project done. Because usually if you asked me about anything that happens in City Hall, I would tell you it takes a few years. And I don't know if they're rushing through this, but again, from the public perspective, I can see how people would think that it's very rushed. This is the first they've heard of it. There hasn't been enough opportunity for public hearings and things like that. And I think that this comes down to a disconnect between our municipal leaders and members of the public, because at the last city council meeting, some councillors actually suggested that, people in the city are engaged in local politics. And I think I would have to disagree with that pretty heartily.
All right. Well, this is not a story that's going to go away. we'll be following this, this input process they have. What was it called again?
It's an alternative approval process.
Right. And if people want to learn more about that, they can check out the Burnaby website and any of the stories you've written on the Burnaby Beacon site, which mention it a bunch of times. On to more fun things. I know this is something very close to your heart and something you've mentioned before on our segment here, but the wheels are starting to turn on the possible creation of a brewery district in Burnaby.
That's right. And I swear I don't do this on purpose. It's just that one of the fun stories we write each week happens to be about beer, I guess. I unashamedly love my craft beer, so I'm pretty excited about this. The city is looking at how it can fulfill, or I shouldn't say the city, I should say some councillors are looking at how they can fulfill an election promise that they made last year to actually zone an area of Burnaby that could become a brewery district and encourage craft breweries to come and set up here and just be kind of the kind of area that you see in Port Moody or North Vancouver, which I'm very excited about.
Right. So just to give them credit, who are the councillors pushing this forward right now?
Yeah, so Daniel Tetreault is doing quite a bit of work on this. He's a newly elected councillor, joined council after the October election, and it was part of the Burnaby Citizens Association's platform.
Right. Great. So what are the tools the city has to make this happen?
Yeah, so at the moment, it seems like they're working on a regulatory review of what exactly stops breweries from setting up here in the first place. If you know Studio Brewing, it's in the same area that they're kind of looking at as a possibility for this down by Royal Oak. And they have become really, I would say, like a gathering place in that neighborhood. It's always bumping if you walk in there. There's lots of people, there's regulars, and you know, the staff really love their community. But at the same time, I've talked to them and they have told me it wasn't the easiest process to set up there. Mm-hmm. Took them about 3 years to wade through that, you know, red tape put up by the city. And I asked Councillor Tetreault about this, and he said, yeah, you know, maybe it is kind of a remnant, or, you know, a pun intended, a hangover from when cities didn't really want to attract businesses like this because they were considered undesirable or rowdy or likely to draw complaints. That's not the kind of society we live in anymore. I think breweries are considered, you know, local businesses that people want to support. So they're looking at how they can change some of those zoning regulations and red tape to make it easier for businesses like that to set up.
And I guess once they get through that process, it'll take a while to form, because I mean, once they put the sort of mechanisms in place, then it's kind of an organic process of breweries deciding this is the place they want to be. I have to say, one thing I'd really like to see them do with this is, you know, incorporate some sort of public performance space or something like that into that zone, you know, so that you could go and, you know, in the summertime, you could go and get your beer and sit in the patio, and there might be some people, you know, a stage nearby with music happening and just a real gathering place.
I think this is exactly what we were talking about a couple weeks ago, where, you know, it's not, it doesn't just come to breweries or alcohol or that kind of business in particular. I think we are lacking in just public space here in Burnaby. Mm-hmm. I'll use Port Moody again as an example. If you go down to Brewers Row, it's directly across the street from Rocky Point Park. And that park is filled with activities and events and everything you would want to see from, you know, a public space in the summer. It's also got, you know, a beautiful natural landscape right there. If you go to North Vancouver, I don't know if you've ever been to one of their outdoor concert series that they do, but it's about the most fun you can have for free in the Lower Mainland, to be honest. It's just like a crazy good time. And it's all in that same area. Everything you want to do for a day out